Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
I wonder what it is in your life that you are truly committed to. I have to be honest and say that when I look at my own life, I realize that there haven't been that many things that I'm truly committed to. And often, I think I'm more committed than I really am. When I was in, I think, sixth grade, the girls in our class started to think that they were above us boys, that we were too immature for us and that they didn't even want to be around us. And so us guys, we finally got upset about it and decided to do something. And so we kind of met together and we decided to form a club called BASUG, Boys Against Stuck Up Girls. We decided that, man, we were determined not to talk to those girls anymore, that we would continue to act immature whether they liked it or not, that we were not going to sit with them at the lunch tables. But we talked about making shirts that said BASUG. We didn't, but we had the meeting, and we formed this group, and we were BASUG, and we were never going to hang out or talk to those girls again. Until one guy, Eric, kind of fell in love with one of the girls, and he defected. And then there was this other guy, Tim. He heard that one of the girls was having a birthday party, and he really wanted to go, so he started buddying up with her, and he kind of left our group. And then there was this guy, Willie. Willie decided that the girls were right. We were too immature, and he'd rather be with the girls than with us. And pretty soon, the whole group just disintegrated. But I'll tell you this. When we guys get together now, we still talk about those glory days. All four of them. Those were really special days. There were four special days. And I wonder if a lot of us could find the same kind of pattern in our lives. You know, it's not that we lack conviction. There are things that can get us a little bit passionate. And we may even make some sort of a commitment to them and maybe even take action. But then it kind of gets hard. Maybe there's a sacrifice required of us to continue in our commitment. We don't like to make sacrifices, and we realize that this isn't so easy, and so we start to just back off a little bit. Our commitment isn't as strong, and then maybe a little bit more, and after a while, we pretty much just forget about the whole thing, and maybe we weren't as committed to it as we thought we were. We started this brand new series last week called I Am Second. What we're doing in the series is we're thinking about people's stories, about stories. And there's a website called I Am Second, which features videos of mostly pretty famous people telling their stories, and specifically telling their stories of how they met Jesus and became convinced that he was real and decided to put their faith in God and to make this decision to put God first and become second in their lives, that they were going to live for God instead of for their own selves. And we're also thinking about our own stories, like our stories, and how maybe we need to put God first in our lives. We're also looking at the Bible, and today I want us to think about this guy in the Bible named Paul. Now, the Bible tells us the historical account of this guy, Paul, and he had this crazy story. Last week, if you're here, Ryan introduced us to him and a bit of his story. Paul lived in the first part of the first century, right at the same time as, and then just after the time of Jesus. And Paul was kind of amongst the educational elite. Like, he was a guy who was like revered and honored and people looked up to, but because he was so educated and because he was so religious. And that was like a big deal back then. And everyone just was thought so highly of him because he was a man of real commitment and conviction. In fact, over time, he became like the very definition of a religious zealot. What he did is he believed so strongly that his religion was the only right one that he started pursuing and torturing and killing and imprisoning Christians. Because for him, they believed in this other religion, and that made them the enemy. But then in the middle of all this, he had this incredible experience of God that he just could not deny. He was on his way to another town to hunt down more Christians, but he was stopped dead in his track by the blinding light of God, literally. And so he couldn't see, but at the same time, for the first time in his life, he could see. Like he could see Jesus for who he was and that he truly was the Son of God who came down because of love to save us. And he realized that he had been persecuting Jesus' followers and so really fighting against God himself. But God still loved him anyway. And God still had a place for him. God hadn't given up on him. And God still had a purpose and a plan for his life. And it was like he had this grace explosion. It just changed everything for him, realizing that the one who knew him best, who knew all the ugliness of his life, loved him the most. How incredible of a thought is that? The one who knows you best, who knows all the ugliness that you try to hide from everyone else, the one who knows you best loves you the most. Well, for Paul, that realization, that grace explosion changed everything. And he started living his life for Jesus. And that's when his story got really interesting. By the way, that's always what happens. When a person decides to truly live for Jesus, that's when their story gets really interesting and kind of crazy. Always happens that way. I'm going to tell you a little bit more of Paul's story here in a few minutes. And I mostly want to get you thinking about your story. But first, I want to watch this video from the I Am Second website. It's about 13 minutes long, so sit back and enjoy. It's very interesting. And it tells the story of a woman named Annie Laubert. So check this out. I love that story because there would be some people who I think would ask the question, you know, would God really have a place for someone like that who's done that? And the answer is yes. And there's probably even more people who would have the question, okay, maybe, yeah, maybe. But would God really want that to be the person who like shares his message with the world, who represents him? And the answer is yes. Yes, that's also what happened with Paul. Even with his history as a Christian killer, not only did God still love Paul, but he chose Paul to become probably the most influential Christian in the history of the world. He had this horrible past, but God still chose him. And it wasn't like God forgot to call the references on his resume. You know, God didn't go, wait, Paul did what? What was I thinking? No, like God knew, and that was part of what made Paul's story and his ability to share God's love so powerful. And so Paul spent the rest of his life sharing God's love, this God of love he had been introduced to, this incredible message of grace with everyone who would listen. And that's exactly what Annie Laubert has done. She didn't just accept God's love and spend the rest of her life enjoying it for herself. No, she's decided that I need to share it with people. And so she started this ministry called Hookers for Jesus, and she's trying to introduce people to God's transformational love. But what about you? What about you? If you've encountered God's perfect, unconditional love, do you feel compelled to share it with others? It's hard not to. Honestly, I'd say it's wrong not to. It'd be kind of like if you discovered a cure for cancer, you would need to share that with people who have cancer, and it would be wrong for you to have a cure for cancer and not share it with people who have cancer. And in the same way, when you encounter God and his love, you start to realize this is what everyone is looking for. This is what everyone needs, and this will change everyone's lives. And so you can't keep it to yourself, and you just start sharing it with everyone. And I'm not saying in like an obnoxious way, in a, you know, we need to be Bible basher. I'm not saying like that. I'm talking about in a patient, conversational, grace-filled way, we share God's love with everyone who will listen. And it's not just about telling people about God's love. It's also being a part of God's mission of love, like finding your place in his mission, finding a place, for instance, to serve here at Verve. I don't know if you noticed, but today we have a ministry fair in the lobby. So there's tables out there that represent the different ministries that we have here at Verve. And it's a chance for you to kind of walk around and find out what volunteer positions are available for you and to sign up for a first serve or two. A first serve is when you'll serve in a ministry one time. You're not signing up for life, one time. And you'll shadow someone who's doing that volunteer position that you're thinking about doing. So you can kind of see what it's about and learn more about it. And after that experience, we'll talk to you and say, do you want to sign up to serve? Does this seem good to you? And you might be like, bad fit. Okay, then we'll help you to try something different. If you like it, we'll help you to sign up to serve in that ministry on a kind of ongoing basis. And so then I hope that you'll do that today, because God wants you to become a part of his mission of love, and part of that is serving in the church. But not necessarily just in the church. It's also serving out in the community. So one of the ministry partners that we have is called Refuge for Women. Refuge for Women is a home for women who are choosing to come out of the sex industry. It's this incredible deal where they come and they experience healing and they grow in a relationship with God and they get prepared for what's next in their lives. And we have a representative from Refuge for Women here today, and they have a table out in the lobby as well. And so you can talk to her and find out different volunteer positions that you might be able to serve with that ministry. It's incredible. And you can share God's love that way. That's part of what it means to put God first and to choose to be second. And that's what it means to become a Christian. When someone chooses to be a Christian, you're choosing God's going to be first and I'm going to be second, which is exactly what Paul did. He made this choice that he was no longer going to be the center of things in his life, that he would no longer live for his own desires, that he would no longer seek recognition or fame. Instead, he would live for God and for God's will and for God's glory, that God would be first and he would be second. But I want you to check out something Paul wrote from a damp, cold, lonely prison cell. Paul was repeatedly thrown in jail because back then it was illegal to talk about Jesus. But that did not stop Paul from talking about Jesus. And so when Paul writes this, he's in jail. He doesn't know if he'll see another day of freedom. He doesn't even know if he'll see another day of life. Like putting God first and choosing to be second, this is what it got Paul thrown in prison. And here's what he writes in Philippians chapter 3. If you don't have a Bible with you, if you have a Bible, Philippians chapter 3. If you don't have one, we put the verses on the screen, and so you'll be good. Just read them up there. If you don't own a Bible, we give them out for free at the Velcro bar. You can grab a Bible. So Paul writes in Philippians 3, verses 7 and 8. Remember, this guy was someone who, he had it all before he gave his life to Jesus, right? He was honored. He was amongst the educational religious elite. He writes, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ. What Paul's saying is, everything that used to make me first, that put me in the world's spotlight, I now have no interest in those things because I want Jesus to be first in my life, even if making Jesus first means that I spend my life in a prison cell. And here's what I think. I think that's what every single one of our souls longs for. I think that's what you've been desperate for your entire life, to finally cast off all of the little meaningless things that we think are so important and we need to have, and to finally say, you know what, forget all that. Forget it. All I really need is Jesus, and I want to live my life for God. That would be a life of freedom. That would be a life worth living. In that same lonely prison cell, Paul wrote a verse that really just summed up his life. It's kind of like, here's my life in a sentence. It's in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. He writes, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He's saying, listen, I'm living my life for Jesus, and if I happen to die, even better, because then I'll get to go be with Jesus in person. That was like his life mission. And I wonder where you're at right now. Could you say the same about your life? I realize we have some people here today, you're probably like, I'm kind of like visiting and investigating. I don't even know if I believe in God. Man, I love it that you're here. I get that. But for those of us who are further along in this journey, I guess, could you say that about your life? Because the truth is, we're all living for something. Right? We're all living for something. We're all committed to something. We all have kind of that life mission, that our lives summed up in one sentence, somewhere buried deep within our lives. And so I wonder what that verse would be for you. We heard Paul's, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What would yours be? "For to me, to live is to have money, and to earn more is gain." It's all about the chang, cha-ching, chang. It's all right. Maybe that's your life verse. Or "For me, to me, to live is to get married, and to not be alone anymore is gain." That's my life summed up. "For me, to live is to look good, and to be noticed is gain." "For to me, to live is to get high, and to escape the pain is gain." "For to me, to live is to be accepted, and to be liked is gain." "For to me, to live is to be a good person, and to be happy is gain." And really think about that for a minute. Because you only get one shot at life, right? There's no do-overs. One shot. Is what you're living for really what you want to be remembered for? Right? Whatever your life verse is that what you want written on your tombstone? Really think about it. Like, what if your tombstone someday says, "Here lies Bob. He had a sweet car." That was your life, right? "Rest in peace, Jill. You are the prettiest decaying corpse in the entire cemetery. Congratulations." Right? "Farewell, Jack. No one will ever down a beer bong like you could." But what if that's your legacy? What if that's what you're remembered for? What if that's what you leave behind? I know I don't want to be remembered for anything like that, because I can already see what mine would be. My tombstone will say, "Farewell, Vince. You got a lot of work done." I can see it. And I don't want it. I don't want that. But there are a lot of days where I live like that's the most important thing, like that's what really matters. What I would prefer to have on my tombstone is, "Here lies Vince. He loved God and he loved people." That would be enough for me. That would be plenty for me. And that would be a life worth living for. Many of you probably know a guy named Gary. He's been a big part of our church for the last 2.5 years. So Gary walked in here for the first time 2.5 years ago. He was in his early 40s. He had a very rough life, a horrible childhood, and he grew up to do a lot of things that he was not proud of. He came here not believing in Jesus at all, which is like 70% or so of the people who come here when they first walk in don't believe in God, don't believe in Jesus. And so if that's you, you're in good company or bad company. You can choose by meeting some other people. But Gary did not believe in Jesus, didn't believe in God. But over time, totally cynical, but over time, he came to faith. And when he experienced God's love, he knew he had to share it. And no one told him that. We didn't do a sermon on that. He just knew. So what he did was he started going to convalescent homes, and he would ask, "Who are the old ladies here, old guys here who never get visited?" And he would just go, and he would spend hours sitting in rooms with strangers saying, "Would you tell me your story?" And then sharing God's love with them. He did it week after week after week. One day he called us and said, "What do I do? There's a lady who wants me to baptize her." I mean, he was a brand new Christian. He's like, I don't even know what to do. Like, I've been sharing God's love with her, and she said, I want to give my life to Jesus and get baptized. What do I do? And so Gary did that for a long time. And then he started giving cold waters to homeless people out in the streets. And he found a few other people from Verve who were doing similar things. And they kind of connected and brought in some other people. And they started going out every Tuesday and feeding dozens and dozens of homeless people lunch every Tuesday. So one of the chapters in this new God for the Rest of Us book I just had come out, I tell Gary's story in one of the chapters. And it was, I think about 6 weeks ago, I was standing right over there, and Gary came up to me and just gave me the biggest hug I think I've ever received. Finally, he let go, and I was like, "Thank you, why?" And here's what Gary said. He said, "Thank you, thank you." He said, "I've always had this morbid curiosity. I've always wondered what would be said about me at my funeral. I've always wondered it. And I read the chapter and what you wrote about me, and now I know. I know what's going to be said about me at my funeral. And 3 weeks later, 3 weeks ago today, Gary died in the middle of the night. And we're going to, so you know, we're going to be having his funeral here in this room on October 10th at 4 o'clock if you want to be here for it. And it turns out Gary was right. We're going to tell these great stories at his funeral about the last couple years of his life and about how he loved God and loved people. He chose for God to be first and for him to be second, and he shared God's love with everyone. You know, I've done a lot of funerals. I don't know what's a lot. I think I've done a lot of funerals. And every time I do a funeral, I sit down with the family a week or so before the funeral, and I say, would you tell me stories that I can share because we want to celebrate this person's life? Like, what was significant about his life, her life? Like, tell me the stories. And most of those meetings, what I get in response are blank stares. And then finally, someone will say, he loved to fish. I'm not joking. Somebody will say, she was a great cook. She loved cooking. She loved her soaps. Loved watching those soaps. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. Can you give me something I can share? Like whose lives did they touch? And what did they do for? He really loved fishing. What about you? What about you? Like, what are you living for? What will you be remembered for? What is your legacy going to be? What will you have given your life to? And will it have been worth it? Right? I mean, are you going to continue to choose to put yourself first and you're at the center? Or will you make the choice to put God first and I'm second? Will you really live your life for Jesus? I'll tell you this. I have found that he is the only thing worth living your life for. His mission of love in this world is the only thing worth investing your life in. And I think you can tell that's exactly what Annie Laubert has found. And she says, he redeemed my story. He took my awful story and he's made something beautiful out of it. When I started living my life for God, it changed everything. And that's what you'll find if you make this decision as well, that only Jesus is worth living your life for. Only his mission of love is worth investing your life in. But will you commit your life to him? Will you do that? And you may never have thought of it this way, but Jesus committed his life to you. Right? Jesus isn't asking you to do anything for him that he hasn't already done for you. He believed in you. And he acted on his belief. He showed his commitment when he went to the cross. Right? He laid down his life for you and for me. And that is the biggest reason that we need to be willing to lay down our lives for him. So we're going to give you the next few minutes. We do this every week. Just to think and to pray, if you pray, about what do you need to do to live out your convictions? What commitment do you need to make? What do you believe in? And are you putting your belief into action? What's the next step for you? In this series, we're asking you to consider, it's a little bit more in your face kind of series, but we're asking you to consider making the decision to put God first and you second. And last week, we started this series by giving you the opportunity to cross out one of the I's on the two boards on the side of the room. Drawing a line through that I as in me, right, signified I want to kind of cross me out, not in the sense that like I don't matter, but in the sense that I don't want to live for myself anymore. I don't want myself to be the center of my world anymore. But what's interesting is when you cross out the I, you realize that it makes a cross. And the idea was that it's only because of what Jesus did for us on the cross that we're able to stop being number one, because we understand God loves me that much. Right, because God loves me so much, I don't have to always be like clawing at life and trying to take care of myself and protect myself, because I have someone who loves me more than I love me. And so I don't have to be the center of attention. I don't have to grasp at recognition or popularity or success. I can like lay that down because I have someone who loves me with a perfect love, and that's what my soul longs for. Right? And so you don't need to be the one who matters most to you because you matter most to the one who matters most. Last week, we also gave you a couple things, and we have more available if you'd like one of them. On the little stands by the boards, there's an I Am Second bracelet, and so you could wear that on your wrist, or you could put it on your rear view mirror, just to remind you of the decision that maybe you're making. There's also a card that says, I am second, therefore. And the idea is to take this home and to think and maybe pray about that. So if I make this decision, it's not just like, okay, I made the decision. Like there's certainly in all of our lives, including mine, going to be some things that will change if God's going to be first and I'm going to be second. And so what's the therefore? Therefore, I need to rethink whatever it is, some relationships I have. I need to rethink how I handle money. What's the therefore for you if you make this decision? So if you'd like a card to use to write some commitments, or if you'd like one of those wristbands, you can feel free to take one during this next few minutes. What we're going to do is we're going to have the band play one last song and give you a chance just to think about a decision that maybe you want to make today and what your life would look like if you really made God first. During this time, we also have communion available. It's on the three candlelit tables around the room, and it's a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body given on the cross for us, his body and the blood that he shed for us. And it's just a chance to remember, he made the commitment to me that he's asking me to make to him, right? I can lay down my life because I know that I'm loved perfectly by God, and he showed that to me on the cross. And so if you'd like to take communion, if you want to remember the commitment that you've made to Jesus, if you've made that commitment, you can grab the bread and juice, bring it back to your seat, and when you're ready, you can take that. All right, I'm going to pray for you, and then we'll give you about 4 or 5 minutes just to do all that and use this time to really think about what's next for you in the spiritual journey. God, the reality is I think that all of us could admit that there is an empty, hungry place inside of us. There's this vacuum that wants to be filled. And we try to fill it with all kinds of things, with money, with looking good, with success, with relationships, with the love of another person, with having kids, with our kids being successful, just a bunch of things that we think are going to make us feel fulfilled and give us what we're looking for. And the reality is none of it fits. And so we continue to look and try more things and try to get more of the things we already have. And we just remain restless. God, would you help us, maybe even right in this moment, to understand that what we're looking for is perfect love and only you offer it. And what we need to do is not just, yay, I'm loved, but to really commit to you, to let you truly be God in our lives. And so you're first and I am second. And to think through it and to seek your guidance and what does that mean for my life? Because certainly my life will no longer look the same if my life is no longer about me. God, if we would sign up for your story for our lives, whoa, are things going to get interesting. And it will be an adventure, and we will feel compelled to share your love with everyone we can. God, help us to do that. Help us to live lives that are worth living, that someday we might be remembered for the right things. Help us to live with that end in mind. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.